Good morning. KIA today. Blah, 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 it's Friday the 13th. What a shocker, huh? Joining us this morning from Humble Bay Fire is Amy Conlon. Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready for your question? Well, first thing.
Oh.
What happened to Sean?
He is out today.
Oh,
so you have to deal with me instead.
You just kind of pushed him out of the way then. All right. Either that or he timed his vacation to avoid us.
I cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah. Yeah. That would not be a good career move, would it?
No, all he's right. Out. He loves coming.
Why are Naval Academy students called midshipmen?
Well, they're halfway there.
I would think, well, my guess is going to be they're positioned in the middle of the ship and the guys that were experienced were at either end.
That's a good guess, too.
Let's find out. In the British Navy, two centuries ago, young naval officers being trained aboard ship were usually assigned quarters on the lower deck near the middle of the ship.
There you go.
For this reason, they were called midshipmen. The Naval Academy at Annapolis copied the British and applied the term to their own naval officers in training. Well, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you were right.
It's where you live when you're at sea. So, talk to us. What's going on with the fires here? What's been the impact of the local department? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so we do have one crew out. They are actively assigned to the Dixie Fire. They're on the fire line. And we have that one crew. It's three people. They're on engine 8136, which is our Type 3 engine, which are usually the types that we'll send out to wildfires. So they've been out there now since about early August, and we'll continue to support that. They're working 24 hours on the fire and then 24 hours off to refuel, refresh, get new supplies, and get a little rest in. So it's been hard work.
Will you rotate the three people, or is that their assignment now until they get turned back?
We will. We will rotate people out probably about every 2 weeks or so is our rotation schedule. And it depends on everyone's availability, but about 2 weeks is what we're shooting for just because it's a stretch to get out there.
So I was wondering if that, because it's different, is kind of fun and something people want, or because it's way away and it's different, you kind of, it's short straw.
I think it depends. Some people volunteer and like to go out. Some people don't. You know, it all depends, I think, on your life outside of work and what you've got going on. And, you know, but yeah, it's definitely a unique experience. It's not like day to day here. It's, you know, being on the fire line is totally different. So, yeah, they're working hard out there.
Is it a resume builder? I would think most of the guys in the department probably have got what they want, you know, maybe move on to another department bigger, or if they have the opportunity for, you know, to bump up, like a promotion, you know, out with another, okay. But are there firemen in city departments that aspire to be in wildfire or wildland fire? Or I would think it would go the other way.
Yeah, I don't know if they're thinking about it as a resume builder. I definitely think it's an experience you want to have, you know, being a firefighter. You know, you probably at some point want to get that experience of being out, you know, on a fire that has a base camp, that has a command on a large scale like that, especially if you're going to be moving up in the organization, just to have that experience. That way, when you're the one dealing with sending people out or the logistics of that, you have that firsthand experience. But I don't know if anyone's looking at it like a resume builder per se.
Good. Yeah, different experiences, obviously you want to have that, but
yeah, of course,
you know, it just is interesting. So what, when those fires first started, what was the buzz around the firehouse? I was like, oh gee, here we go again, or was it something different?
Yeah, you know, we expect at this point to be requested for assistance around this time every year. So it's come to be an expectation now that we sort of gear up for having folks available to help with the larger California wildfire season. So it's expected. You know, we sort of, like I said, get prepped for it mentally and logistically ahead of time, start getting an interest list. Hey, if we get requested, who's available, you know, ahead of time. So that way, when it comes in, we're not scrambling. So we do prep for it every year.
So with this fire that's in Trinity County that the three fellows are on, okay, that gets wrapped up. Will there automatically then be a pull to another fire that's current? And, you know, there's always going to be one truck out? Or is it they come back, everything settles, and then there's another request?
It just depends, honestly, what the needs are. So we get requested through CAL FIRE. Originally, when they requested 8136, it was to cover the Trinidad station. So what CAL FIRE initially will do when fires start is they'll pull their own resources and use local resources to backfill their stations. So then we're basically functioning at their station in replacement of that crew. So any calls that come in their jurisdictional area, whether they're fires or traffic collisions or whatever, we'll respond to those. And then as they need more assistance from local departments at the fires themselves, then they'll get pulled to those. So originally we kind of bounced around from Trinidad to Wyatt to a bunch of different CAL FIRE stations before being requested as an immediate need to the fire itself.
I'm sorry, if I got pulled up to Trinidad and then got screwed and got a call to go to Trinity County up in the hills.
A little bit of a different
this
environment.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know where you're going to go. So definitely someone who likes the more of the spontaneity of the job is well suited for that. But yeah, it could be after, you know, this fire is contained. Could be that they go right to another fire. Could be that they go back to a CAL FIRE station to cover. It really just depends.
So the CAL FIRE guys then kind of get assigned out first. And if there's not enough action for them, then they come back and you backfill back into their regular stations.
Yeah, I mean, they try to use their own resources first because there is a cost associated with, you know, borrowing other people. So,
yeah, it's always been that way, I believe. So what does that do to everybody else? Can it stretch them a little bit thinner?
Yeah, like I said, we prep for it every year. So people know there's more opportunities for work assignments this time of year. So because we have three people out, you know, they are basically off of their normal rotation. So people are getting an opportunity to work here and there at a station other than their typical assignment. So that's kind of fun too, to see different faces around.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humboldt Bay Fire. Amy, the memorial, Fireman's Memorial in Old Town, I think last time we got together, maybe in the month prior.
It was just about to open, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it what you hope for?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, it was a really great dedication ceremony. I think people were there, found it really powerful. I found it really powerful, and It seems like it's been respected down there. We haven't had any issues come up really with the site being maintained. So, but our crews are responsible for maintaining that. So they'll go down and, you know, trying to make sure there's not trash accumulating and whatnot. But yeah, it's been a really good area.
Yeah, I've driven Old Town. Well, I didn't this morning, but three of the previous four, just before things start.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's sleeping in there. Nothing goofy's going on. I mean, it's like, maybe because it's new, maybe because it is what it is. Maybe it's both.
Yeah.
It's not being challenged.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say really the exact reason whether there's the respect for what the space represents. We also have the 24-hour lighting with the flagpole and The benches have kind of breakers in them. So, yeah, I mean, whatever the reason, we're really happy to see that it's being maintained and respected the way it has been.
Do you have a donation box down there?
We don't have a donation box down there, but we still have our donation GoFundMe page up. We still accept donations at all of our stations for it if people want to donate towards the ongoing maintenance and upkeep of the site.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that there would be other ways to spend. If you had another $25,000, there's probably another way to build it or ingrandize it a little bit, do something a little bit more special.
Sure.
Not that it's not there, but you know, it gives you something you can work with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whatever that might happen to be. Did you see a lot of retired firemen come back for it?
We did have some folks come back for it. We were especially happy to see some of the family members of the fallen made their way, some of whom have served in the fire service before and have since retired. And so that was really powerful to have them there and be able to accept the flag of their fallen member and place their flowers and whatnot. So that was really beautiful, but we did have quite a few retired folks there as well.
So now you can answer the question, what happens to old firemen when they retire?
What's that?
I don't know. You're the one that saw them all, not me.
I think they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, okay. That one's right up there with why the chicken crossed the road. Yeah, I just... is that concept something that's unique in the fire service? Does Sonoma County have... or Santa Rosa specifically, or Ukiah, anybody else in the area or the region have anything akin to this?
I don't know if anyone in our region has one, but they are common, especially in larger cities or places where they have had a lot of line of duty deaths or job related deaths. It's not uncommon to see. As far as what they look like, how the scale of them and whatnot is all different. But our plight started with getting their names in the memorial in Sacramento, in our capital, and then sort of morphed into a desire to have something local from there. So, yeah, as far as other where the next nearest memorial is, I'm not sure. But I think it's something that it would be great if every department was able to have that, if they do have a line of duty death.
Yeah. Or it would be great if they didn't have anything they could have a memorial for.
Of course,
that would
be.
Now, I would suspect that a lot of them are incorporated or part of a fireman museum also. Is there any thought to having a museum? I know you've got the one on J Street that's kind of a holding barn.
Yeah, we actually partnered with the Clark Museum right across the street from the memorial. So they have a little permanent display there regarding the memorial and some of the information about related to that. They also did a huge display, I think it's still up as well, with the firefighting through the ages. So if anyone hasn't checked that out yet, definitely head across the street to the Clark Museum and check that out. We do have Station 6, like you're talking about. It's always been an idea to have that be sort of a museum or something that we can walk folks through, but we're hoping to get a team together to work on that. But
well, and that's not an ideal spot for a museum.
Yeah.
I mean, no parking, basically,
right.
Rather than the structure itself. It's interesting, the history of firefighting in the city and in the county also. What are the guys talking about once this was put in place? Gee, that's nice. This is really cool. Should have happened a long time ago. I mean, what were some of the comments when the crowd was there?
I think everyone has been really invested in this happening for a long time. The core team that worked on the memorial, it's been a real effort for the past several years. It's been an idea for longer than that, and it's been a real effort for the last few years. And so it really was sort of that, I can't believe it's finally here. It's finally standing. We can see it. You know, it really was a vision come to life. So definitely emotional for everyone. We're glad that it's there. We're proud of it. We are really honored to be able to have that space for the fallen brothers, and we hope that it continues to get the respect it's been getting since it's been in place so far.
One of the things that I was hoping for, and I suppose it depends on scale all the time, is the history of that corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, that's part of it. It's part of what's missing, I think, in Old Town, too. We don't have the history. Nobody really knows for sure what's going on as we see turnover and changes and things happening, and we're going to lose another generation or two of what was.
Right.
So it kind of backfills in some of that stuff, which is, for me, that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humble Blade Fire. This time of the year, we're normally talking about fire prevention rather than fire suppression.
Right.
We got school starting back up also.
We do.
There's a bunch of things that August normally represents. What are some of the things that the fire department is now not focusing on necessarily, but a little bit more paying attention to the details about?
Well, we have been going around and doing our school fire safety inspections, so making sure those buildings are operating as they should and are up to code before students come back in. Whether students come back in, I'm not really sure at this point which places are going to be having in person and which aren't. With COVID and everything, with this variant bringing our cases up so high, but yeah, we've been getting everything ready. Can't exactly predict the future, so we've been working on getting everything inspected, getting people back CPR certified, all that, all nine yards.
So going to a school, I wouldn't think that there's an off, unless there's been some construction. Yeah, okay, it doesn't really change too much year to year. You just have, is it just normal protocol? You proof, double check? Oh boy. That's two geometry words in the same sentence. Oh, is that a flashback? Okay. just making sure everything is still functioning the way that it was, or, you know, if there's new construction, you guys are all over that.
Oh, sure. But, yeah, I mean, things age out. So we're testing all the exit lighting, you know, that those batteries go out, the emergency backup batteries and whatnot, fire extinguishers that they're still in service, test the alarm and the sprinkler system and make sure that they are still working as they should. You know, it's the little things that can break or go wrong or die over the course of a year that we want to make sure is operating as it should before students come back.
Elementary schools are certainly a little bit different than the high schools are. Just the physical layout. How long does it take to do an elementary school? Is that a couple hours? Is that a day? Is that a half day? I mean, is there any normal on that?
I think it depends on the inspector and how many things they're finding. So, you know, the more smoke alarms you check that are dead, and you make a note, or the amount of exit light, you know, the amount of errors, the longer it'll be the inspection. But yeah, I mean, we have developed such a good relationship with folks over the years that they kind of know what we're looking for and help us get ready before we show up usually. So we're able to get them all done in time.
Now, will the guys take care of the fire extinguishers also and see if they're current, or is that something that's totally privatized?
We check them, so they need to be properly charged and they need to be serviced by a fire extinguisher company within the last year. So we check that that's been done.
Yeah, the tag or
but
whatever.
Yeah, but otherwise, if they are out of service, they'll need to contact the extinguisher company to have that done.
There used to be fire lanes. I don't. Are there still?
There are,
with some of the remodels and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All I see driving by is a series of gates.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, Zane used to be able to buzz through. Okay, now there are gates. Lafayette, there are gates, you know, for where the buses go.
Right.
When a fire truck pulls up, are you like a bus? Do you get access into the bus area, or do you have to park further away?
Yeah, so that's part of it. You know, every time protection goes up, or if businesses or schools or whatever add gates up in front of their businesses, we have to be able to have access to those. So we have what's called a Knox box or a Knox gate, where our key will give us access to that location.
So it's like a universal key then?
It gets us into where the universal keys are, essentially. Oh. Yeah.
It's a pre-universe. I guess it would be called the galaxy then.
The gates will open for us with our key. Okay. But if there's, you know, keys for that building, we need to go and access those.
I hadn't even thought about that with so many of the businesses now putting the wrought iron in front.
Yeah.
There's a universal key that goes to that, or a master lock key, so to speak, that you guys can get access through that.
Yeah. So
to get to the entrance.
If there's a business that has a Knox box on it that has the keys for that business, which essentially keeps us from having to break in and break your door or your key, they'll put that outside of the gate so that we can access.
Oh, so it's like one of the real estate boxes.
Similar.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Similar. Yeah.
Much more secure.
Okay. Well, yeah. I can understand that. You don't want it walking away.
Exactly.
Are any of the other newer architectural additions or designs causing challenges for you guys?
That's the
one that comes most to my mind. But are there others also?
That's one that we've seen a lot, just because people are trying to harden up their exterior of their buildings. Honestly, in terms of construction, the newer the construction, the safer it tends to be. I mean, with every update of the fire code, you know, buildings and new establishments and new construction are held to that new standard. So it's more for us to check, but ultimately it ends up being a more fire safe construction. For instance, the newish fire code, where all now residential homes need to be equipped with a sprinkler system. So that's new.
Yeah, yeah, that's the window bars, you know, the ones that come down.
Uh-huh.
Some people come down, that's wrong. They're vertical over the windows. Is that a concern? Windows in the past, I know, have been used as an entry point. That kind of makes it a little tougher if they've got the bars there, or you guys have to, or do you just cut through them with the Sawzall or whatever the fancy name is for the commercial version of that unit?
It can be. Mostly we would be concerned with the bars for egress, but nowadays they have bar setups where you can unlock and move them from the inside, which takes care of that egress concern, because windows are a secondary or tertiary form of egress, outside of doors. So we want to make sure people can get out of them if need be. If we need to get into them, yeah, we certainly will, whether it be, you know, with our tools, yeah.
Yeah. What is the equivalent of a Sawzall called, or a chainsaw that goes through metal?
Oh, the K-12.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an education tool. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humboldt Bay Fire. So what do you want to brag on? It's been a couple of months. What's been going on that is kind of cool?
Well, we've been having a lot of fires lately, more so than normal. I mean, like structure fires. Just this morning we had a dumpster fire. So we've been having a lot of fires. We're really proud about the stops that we're able to do in the community with those. We'll have to figure out what's going on with that. But we did have our biggest story lately was the water rescue last week on Tuesday, the Elk River Slough over by the Hickshari Trail.
Somebody just get stuck, or what was behind that one?
The rumor is that this person went in after someone's dog, a woman's
Isn't
dog.
Isn't that like
got
a
out.
Cardinal sin?
Right, you're not supposed to go in after
dogs.
Dogs
swim.
Yeah.
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 People don't necessarily.
Right. Yeah, we don't recommend anyone ever go into a waterway after a dog, but people do it all the time. And so kind of the what's being said is the reason for the person entering the slough in the first place was because a woman's dog had gotten stuck out there, and she was concerned and asking for help. And so, you know, wanting to help, this gentleman went in after the dog and then, you know, became a secondary victim at that point.
So when you guys and gals respond to something like that, is it a water? Is it a land? How do you get in those situations? Or do you have both respond? Was the fireboat involved in this one? Or
the fireboat,
close enough?
Yeah, the fireboat wasn't involved in this one, but we do have a number of our staff who are certified as swift water rescue technicians. And so we have them kind of just like with our paramedics and whatnot, every, you know, certification, hazmat specialist, whatever it is, they're staffed on our engines all the time. So we had, you know, one engine with one water rescuer on it. We had another engine with three water rescuers on it. And so folks who had a water rescuer were dispatched to that call, where those technicians were able to go out and assess the situation and ultimately make a field save. That person would not have made it if they wouldn't have been rescued.
That's kind of rough and sobering. You know, you're trying to help somebody out, and then you could be the one that
right.
gets knocked out. Yeah. That's not that common, though, is it?
It's not our most common call. We get 10... Yeah, real water rescues a year. And most of the time it's folks from out of the area. You know, we hear it every year. They're getting swept off the jetties, you know, whatever it is.
That's what I would have thought would be the most common one. People
yeah.
who just aren't familiar with the ocean and the waves and the bay, and they just, you know, if it's a local, you'd say got stupid. If it's somebody out of the area, nobody told them, or they didn't use common sense.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little bit of both. Sometimes, you know, locals are too comfortable. But a lot of times it's folks who are, you know, here on tourists, or they're new. Maybe they came here to go to HSU or something. Family comes to visit, whatever it is, and don't understand the real risk that's around our waterways here in our ocean.
Stand back. Listen to the wave as it hits that concrete and moves it.
Right.
You don't want to, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a little bit of signage that ought to, you know, it needs to be out there too for some of the newer folks, or for certain areas that are more apt to
right.
have issues.
Right. And I think that there is signage, you know, especially out on the jetty. I know that there's signage out there, but it's like, you know, you want to go out and see it, and you don't, I think just as humans in general, we kind of see things and like, oh, that's for, you know, people being
the next guy
less safe than I am, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of know what I'm doing type thing. So anyone, I mean, as we've seen, we've had rescues of people who you know, really know what they're doing, and it doesn't really matter your experience level. I mean, that our cliffs, our ocean, yeah, can certainly.
Well, even the concept of a sneaker wave.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully we won't have too many more newsworthy events the remainder of this month, and the guys will be able to come back home, and we'll just get ready for school, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly we definitely are looking for things to calm down a bit, you know, fire season to dissipate. You know, we don't want it to be a record-breaking year every year. It's crazy. The last few years have, you know, outdone themselves. So we're looking for get control of what we've got going on and hopefully enter into next season calmer.
Leave the records for the Field of Dreams, right?
Right, exactly.
God, that was a cool game last night. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow or on Monday.